The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live.
Good Thursday. Thanks for being with us. Dale Hellestray is going to jump on board today. The three-time Super Bowl champion Dallas Cowboy, one of the best long snappers in the history of the NFL. He is also doing some high school work once again for Cox 7. He's doing some college football nationally for Compass Media. Dale is all over the place. Great guy as well. And I want to talk to him about preseason football and where it is now in the NFL, but with the Cardinals playing tomorrow. But also NIL and its coming to high schools. And Dale is very passionate about that. He coaches over at Scottsdale Christian Academy. So we're going to hit a bunch of boxes with Dale Hellestray. Just Chili. So if you're in the high school space, and Just Chili, Chili is going to join us at 10:35. It's actually something we taped earlier. Chili is in the high school space, beloved by kids and some coaches. And I want to have Chili on board to go through his process, where he came from, the whole, it's like a media podcast of where he was, what he's doing, where he's going, and all that stuff, who helped him along the way, some of the funny radio stories and all that with Just Chili. That comes up at 10:35. Opening comments brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. As always, we appreciate their ongoing support. I played True North yesterday. I think I'm going to give up golf. Now, I know for those of you that have played True North, you're thinking, really, that's the course that broke your spirit? I've been struggling for about the last 6 weeks. I don't know why. Like, I'm shooting in the low 80s, mid 80s, and I'm feeling pretty good. And then all of a sudden, I don't know where it started, but I've just been awful. Just with a capital A, awful. Just dreadful. And I don't know what to do to get out of it. I'm standing in the tee box saying, it's not that far, and it's pretty darn straight, but everything is going here and everything's going there. When you're 6 feet eight and you're off by this much, golf sucks. Okay. Like, I'm ready for pickleball. I'm ready for, and some people are very funny and social, because I put that up this morning. They're like, no, you're ready for shuffleboard. No, I'm not ready for shuffleboard. I'm not on the wrong side of the grass or close to it. I feel good, but gosh almighty. And it's a great course. The general manager, Mike Friend, good people out there. And said, let's have lunch afterwards, and got caught up on some golf stuff. The business side of golf, the LIV, PGA, very knowledgeable guy. So I had a great time up there with him and my wife and my brother-in-law and sister-in-law. But man, do I blow right now at golf. And I don't know how to get out of it. So you can shoot suggestions over on my social if you'd like. In terms of the news of the day, there's a really good read today in the Washington Post. The headline is, they're top-ranked basketball players, and they're ready to cash in up next third grade. Really good read on that. The Cardinals are heading to Cincinnati today. Trace McSorley will be the quarterback for the game tomorrow night. The last time Trace McSorley took a snap in a regular season game was 2020. I don't know what to tell you guys. I know you're going to put your money down on it. You're betting on preseason NFL football without Kyler Murray. And these poor suckers in Cincinnati, you're going to pay full price to park and then buy tickets to go in and watch that stuff. That's tomorrow. And I know there's some people that are interested in it, and I'm just popping your balloon rather than saying, you know, this guy over here, if he just comes through, no, he's going to get cut. It's just tagging you. It's just hooking you along, man. Beyond that, I was watching the Diamondbacks last night, and Bally Sports, you know, they're showing the game as they're supposed to do, and there's nobody there, like nobody there. And it's Pittsburgh, I get it, in August, both teams are out. And when they show a shot of the stadium that's just nothing but empty seats, I keep thinking, I was joking about this on the radio this morning with Jacobs and Helly at 1580 AM, they're going to start introducing the fans before the players. You know, like in this last week, it was at the relief pitcher for the Mets. They played his walk-up music and showed how he gets all fired up. They're going to do that. So we'll use Iron Man as an example. So it's like, I don't know. It's a game today. They're playing a day game, 12:40 first pitch. So like at 12:30, And now, in section 112, the Iron Man, Jared Nielsen. And Jared comes down, he's got his walk-up music, and he waves, and he goes down, because they're going to start introducing fans before the players, because there's going to be more players than fans at these games. It's comical, and you can shoot games low. Like, the NFL's figured it out. They don't want to show empty seats, even though there's empty seats. So they shoot it low. You don't see it up high, because you don't want to give the impression that people aren't really into it, and they aren't at times. TV ratings are great, betting numbers are great, but in-stadium stuff, not so great. So I was just watching yesterday and thinking, man, there's like nobody there, which could be fun. Cameron Smith is the latest golfer to pull out of the PGA Tour and go to the LIV. He's going to make $140 million. And so for people to be critical of these players, that if you want to say, well, they don't want to play a full round, okay, they don't. They're not going to play four rounds of golf. They're going to play three. They're going to be in teams. But if you offer somebody $140 million, $140 of these million dollars, how do you not consider it or cross over the line? You're still playing golf. It doesn't matter if it's not on big network TV. It could be over on a stream just like this. I've watched some of the stream. It's fine. But I do think it's interesting. I'm not a fan of LIV top to bottom. I'm not. Because I see what's going on with some of these guys. They're just going for the money, and the competition is kind of put over to the side for them. As long as they can get in and play, like the lawsuit that was filed by the three golfers trying to get into the FedEx Cup. But as long as these guys, you know, if Bryson and Dustin want to make sure that they can play in the Masters and in the U.S. Open and in the Open Championship and the PGA, if they want to make sure they can play in three of the four majors or just the biggest ones and not have to go be in the John Deere Classic or go play in the Byron Nelson or go out to Torrey Pines or go to Palm Springs or come here. You know, if they don't want to come to these stops and they're making so much money that they don't have to, and people are going to say, well, it tarnishes their legacy. Well, I don't know. They're going to be tarnishing their silver and their mansions with their $140 million. I don't look at these guys in that way where I don't like them. I don't like that it's not four full rounds. I don't like that. I don't like the fact that it's really exclusive and that there are those fans that go to the Greater Greensboro Open or the St. Jude Classic where there's very good money there with the charities that are being raised. And I was talking to my brother-in-law yesterday. He said, I was watching golf over the weekend. I had no idea who was out there. And that's going to happen. You know, other than Nick Faldo crying with Jim Nantz on Sunday, was there any buzz about what happened over the weekend? No. It doesn't mean that the Waste Management Open, in my opinion, the WM Open, in my opinion, as we sit here today, has to make sure that they can say, and it's Super Bowl week this year. So there's that anomaly to it where, okay, could Tiger even say, I'm going to play in Phoenix this year? Justin Thomas got to be there. Rory McIlroy got to be there. Tony Finau got to be there. You go down the list of players because there's some good names from years gone by that haven't done much recently that said, you know what, I'm going to go over and I'm going to play in the LIV. Bubba Watson, you want to leave? Leave. It's fine. Bryson hit the ball a long ways. You want to leave? Fine. Brooks, you want to leave? Fine. Brooksy versus Bryson? Fine. It's kind of like WWE, except it's on the golf end of things. And so, you know, the tournament here in Scottsdale, I think, is going to be fine this year with Super Bowl week at the same time. But in years going down the road, unless these two sides decide to get together, and that's a big story here in Phoenix. It is. It's not, boy, are the Cardinals going to sell out against the Ravens next Saturday or Sunday night. That's not a big story. It's just a preseason game. Who cares? But in the big scope of things here in the Valley, I'm just keeping an eye on LIV v. PGA and how it works out. I want to jump back over on one thing, and that's Aaron Judge. So Aaron Judge hit his 45th home run last night. He's ahead of the 61 Maris home run record. The Bonds home run record is up for debate. That's why I just went to write to Maris. because of what happened in that era. And there are people that are not acknowledging the Bonds home run record. The judge just has to pass Maris, not Bonds. And that's out there. And how much is Aaron Judge going to command on the open market? If Soto wanted $450 million and said, and you know, told Washington no, then Judge is going to get $500 million. Like, there's going to come a day where we're going to hear about a player and he's going to sign for $1 billion with a B. And people won't blink. Like, back in the day, there are players that were making, you know, $450,000, $500,000 back in the day at the height of their career. And now that's what you get for attending mandatory off-season meetings and you don't feel like doing it, except it's much more than that if you're the quarterback of the Cardinals. You know, you have to incentivize to make sure you're there. So $8 million worth. It's crazy. All right, Dale Hellestray is next. Three-time Super Bowl Dallas Cowboy, one of the best long snappers in the history of the game. He does analyst work for Compass Media. And with Cox as well, we're going to talk some high school with the name, image, likeness, but also the NFL and the Cardinals and his view of the Cardinals here in the offseason. We'll have Dale and then Just Chili on this Thursday. I'm Brad Sussmad. All right, as promised, it's time to catch up with three-time Super Bowl winner Dale Hellestray, part of 1580 AM. Actually, he's the bigger part of 1580 AM in the mornings with Jacobs and Helly. It's good to catch up with Dale, of course, one of the best long snappers in the history of the NFL, and he's made the transition to the media side for many years now and does work over on Cox 7 as well. You're back for another year at Cox 7, right?
We are having another season, yes. Excited about it. Start up in Vegas here in a couple weeks.
The Hamilton Bishop Gorman game, Dale?
Yes, we got Hamilton Bishop Gorman, and then Mountain Point's also going to be up there.
That's great. With Chris Harris again this year, back doing the play-by-play?
Yes, he is.
Good stuff. All right, so I wanted to ask you some high school stuff. I'll get to it in a minute, but because of the news of the day with the Cardinals opening preseason tomorrow, what do you make out of preseason football in this day and age, Dale, of observing it versus when you were going through preseason?
Well, it's changed dramatically, obviously. I think most NFL teams are saying, you know, right now the first couple weeks of the regular season are an extension of the preseason. I don't agree with it to a certain extent because it's football. Guys get hurt every training camp. There's non-contact injuries. I think you need to play against another team to get better at football. Coaches yell and scream about, we got to go game speed. We got to go game speed. You don't go game speed, no matter how hard you try as a player, unless you go against somebody else. And so I think they're missing out. I don't think you have to play a whole lot. But, I mean, if you're asking me, I'm playing my starters probably a quarter tonight, maybe in the second quarter, second preseason game, and probably third because you have so much time off after that third preseason game to begin with to try and get them ready.
When you look at the Cardinals in their offseason, just all the stuff, police blotter, news of the day, contracts, Kyler's deal, how that went down, none of that stuff matters on opening day against Kansas City, or do you think there's some carryover into this regular season of a tumultuous offseason?
It's going to be fascinating to see how this team responds. I think there's some leadership on the team. And don't forget, you don't got your best receiver for the first 6 weeks or 8 weeks or however long that suspension is ultimately going to last. I think it's going to affect them along with their opponent. You know, I think Kansas City obviously is a daunting opponent to come out of the gates with. But I think some of this is going to pile up on the Cardinals. And I think they struggle a little bit at the beginning of the year.
Dale Hellestray with us. You can hear him over on 1580 AM, The Fanatic Mornings with Bruce Jacobs, Jacobs and Helly, as I like to say, Helly and Jacobs. Over to the high school end, because you are passionate about it, you're involved in it. NIL has already been legalized in California, name, image, likeness in California for high schoolers, New York, New Jersey. I think, Dale, it's just a matter of time. David Hines is going to talk tomorrow, just kind of a state of the union. I'm anticipating this topic will be brought up. Where are you at on high school and NIL?
I got mixed emotions. You know, I went to SMU back in the early 80s. It was the wild, wild west out in the Southwest Conference back then. Hey, if you're good enough to get some money, I'm all for it, but there's got to be some type of format that it isn't that Wild West again, to where, you know, hey, you know, a recruit says, $5 million my asking price or two, whatever that number is. Because I think so many mistakes are made, Brad. It's, SMU really started getting into trouble when they started offering guys money when they were sophomores and juniors, and then they just did not get any better as they got into college. I think that there needs to be some rules and regulations. I'm all for, hey, if you can get some money to play the sport along with an education, go ahead and try that. I'm all for it. But I don't like this, hey, willy-nilly, I'm putting together a fund over here, and they're going to put a fund over here, and oh, coaches aren't supposed to tell you where the money goes. It's boosters and all that. I just think there needs to be some direction given by somebody, whether it's the conferences or whether it's by the NCAA or whoever takes over for the NCAA.
On the high school end, though, because of where it is heading, you know, there goes what starts at the top, floats downstream, goes from the NFL endorsements now to college, name, image, likeness. States are already legalizing it for high schoolers. In this state, could Hamilton, Chandler, Saguaro, Brophy all be pursuing the same eighth grader and saying, come here and this is our package? Could that be feasible and possible?
Wow. Boy, if you're going all the way down into, you know, middle school, grade school, things like that, that I think you're getting into a scary thing right now. Hey, I'm all for if you think you're good enough to go play at Chandler in eighth grade going into your freshman year, go. If you think you're good enough at Saguaro to play at Saguaro, go. What I don't like is the fact that, you know what, I decide I want to go to one of these schools and I realize I'm not good enough to play, so now I'm going to transfer and I'm going to run from competition. As far as money, the eighth graders, I think you're getting into a scary, scary point right there when you're going that young.
Yeah, because it'll be daddy baller, right?
You know, well, it kind of already is.
Yeah.
You know, dads are, and most seventh and eighth grade kids, they love the game. I'm hoping more and more starting to like more than one sport. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's a lot of fathers who kind of dictate where their kids are going to go and think this is the best and that's the best. We're really in this day and age. Yes. Do more people, college coaches, come and see Saguaro, Chandler, Hamilton? Yes. But I promise you, if you're good enough, you can go to Perry. You can go to other schools and be seen and being recruited, and all those things can happen for you. And guess what? I've always said this. You can be the second best right tackle in the state, and if you go to Saguaro, the first best right tackle is there, you're not going to play. And then you don't get recruited when you're not playing. So, number one, go somewhere where you can play, see how you mature and grow and all those things, and then see where you're at.
Yeah, I feel as though there's a lot to like in the high school space. And I'm not sitting here blowing alarm saying, you know, this is happening tomorrow. But I do see the dark clouds starting to come around high school games and high school players. And, you know, this day and age of specialty trainers where many of them are not very special at training, but they're more than willing to take money from mom and dad and open a side business. These guys that open their own recruiting shops and say, I've got it all figured out, where it's something that mom and dad could simply do. I guess it's like a mechanic saying, I can gap a spark plug for you. You don't know how to do it. It's pretty simple if you just learn. Same thing is true on the recruiting space. And the making money off of parents is starting to become more and more, to me at least, on the high school end.
It is. And you can find all these guys around. And I always get a kick out of it because I'm fairly honest with the kids I work with. Yeah. Yeah, especially as linemen, man, you have to fit into a box. I'm sorry. If you're 6 foot tall and 270 pounds, I don't care how good you are. You know, Texas and Oklahoma and Notre Dame are not coming here to recruit you. If you fit into a box and you're an athlete and things like that, there's things we can work on. But I just see so many kids who are being sold a bill of goods by coaches who are collecting $50, $75, $100 an hour to work with their kids, and they continue to come back week after week being sold a bill of goods.
Yeah, and not just one kid at $50 to $75 to $100 an hour.
Yeah.
12, 13 kids in an hour, so do the math.
Yes. Yeah, you drive by some of these parks, and you're like, hold on, they're paying for that kid. That kid is a middle linebacker, or you know, that kid's going to be a left guard. And yet they're out there paying for him to be a quarterback.
Good stuff. I appreciate your time and insight as always, Dale. Stay. Thanks.
You got it, Brad. Always a pleasure.
There's Dale Hellestray. You can find him over on 1580 AM, The Fanatic, weekday mornings. Helly and Jacobs, as I like to say, with Bruce Jacobs. Good guys. We appreciate his time as always. We're back with more after this timeout. All right. This week on the Arizona Media Podcast, we just chop it up with media personalities. I want to switch over someone I've got to know through Ralph Amsden back in the day. And I would see Chili on the sidelines and be like at high school games and at Arizona State. And it's like, I've never just like sat and chopped it up with his story. A couple of weeks ago, we're down in some pizza, crushing some pizza over Venezia's, and we started just telling radio stories. So I wanted to have Chili on for a few minutes because in the high school space, college space among athletes, there's no one more popular with the players and coaches than Chili. There's just nobody. In Arizona, he works very hard at what he does in his craft. So I wanted to have you on for a few minutes to go through the process, and thanks for jumping in.
Hey, Brad, I really appreciate it, man. I had a great time at Venezia's with you guys with the Sports 360 team, and you know, reminiscing on old times, you know, the radio career and things like that. I was grateful to get a chance to remember those times. You know, somebody like you that's been around it for a long time.
So let's just start with the process of Chili, your on-air name, off-air name. Are you comfortable with the off-air name? On-air name. Go for it. The story of Chili.
Yeah. So it's a name that like I had pretty much like since birth. I guess like when I was a child, like I was cold or whatever, and you know, it's a nickname that was given early in life, and you know, my parents call me that, and. All my friends, like, you know, they all know me as that. So like, you know, it's, it was weird. I tried to shed it in radio at one time. And when I made a move to a different station, they weren't interested in, me trying to grow up. They wanted to keep the product as is. So, so it just stuck and here I am and still Chili, just Chili. So, yeah, so that's what it is.
And it's Chilly for those who aren't familiar, not like what you eat. So
not like a bowl of chili, but I have had a chili bowl. So, you know, there's that.
You started your roots where in terms of just growing up, where'd you grow up?
Back East. I grew up back East. And I think that's where I get a little bit of my flair, a little bit of my swag, you know, back in New York, the way I dress, the music that I listen to and stuff. I remember I would come out here and stay with my parents because I stayed with some friends and aunts and uncles and stuff like that back East for like high school. But I remember I would come out here and the culture, it was like super different, like the music and all that stuff, because obviously there was like West Coast rap and East Coast rap and stuff. And I remember bringing a whole slew of like artists through mixtapes and stuff like that out here. And, you know, everybody kind of gravitated to it. Everybody loved the Timberlands and the Air Force Ones and all the things that I was wearing. So, it was cool to be able to kind of bring a different culture out here and also see the culture that was here and kind of take it back. I tell everybody, you know, Arizona is home of the best Mexican cuisine in the world, because you really can't go anywhere and find a burrito that will satisfy you the way a Filiberto's one will.
Guido's is pretty good for the taco shop.
Hey man, there's so many good spots. There's Elmer's, obviously Valley Luna is amazing, but there are so many good Mexican food spots out here.
So you grew up in New York. In what part of New York? What Queens. What burb?
Queens.
Queens, rough neighborhood, good neighborhood.
I mean, you know, any neighborhood can be rough, but you know, it was, there were challenges to it, but, you know, I think, you know, it takes a village, and I try to promote that, through everything that I do. It takes a village to, you know, raise any individual child. You know, it's not just, the parents, it's the people that surround the kid. It's, the teachers, the coaches, the other parents involved. So, you know, I was, fortunate and blessed to have, you know, a lot of good people around me and, making sure that I made my way to schools and, things like that.
When did radio first start for you? When did it come on your radar?
Shortly after I got out here, like, what was it? It was like 2003. I had to get some rehab on my elbow. And, you know, I met some people that were in radio and they brought me into the studio and things like that. And I remember cracking the mic for the first time. And my mouth that had always gotten me in a little bit of trouble, you know, for once brought me a little bit of a fame and limelight. I remember we did a break talking about women, and, you know, this is like 19-year-old me. And I said, you know what? There's three places for women. There's the kitchen, there's the laundry room, and there's room for improvement. All of a sudden, bam. The phone lines lit up because everybody, you know what everybody thought I was going to say.
Yeah.
The third one. But I said room for improvement. And all of a sudden, like, the lines lit up. And this was during the night show. And, oh, my God, who's that a-hole, like, on the radio with you? How dare he say that? The studio was, like, we looked outside from the studio over, I don't know. I was at Kiss FM at the time.
Okay.
We looked down. And it was just a slew of females out there just waiting to with their pitchforks and their torches. And they're ready to get me. I couldn't go to the clubs that weekend. I remember that because they were waiting. They all wanted a piece of me. They thought it was crazy that I said that. My host at the time was this guy, Caden. And he was like, oh, my God, we might really have something here. So. That was the start of it.
Your radio mentors, who would you say your mentors have been in radio, Chili?
Oh, man. You know, I've had a lot of good people around me in radio, but the one that always looked out for me and took care of me was Super Snake, legend in the Valley. Yep. from the Vale. He always wants me to make sure that I put out that he's from Maryvale. Man, he always looked out for me. He taught me so many things about giving back. You know, he's really the one that put me onto the high school sports scene because he said, Chili, I think that you're going to be pretty big. I think that you have a bright future. You need to pick up a philanthropy. And whatever it is, I really think that you should show love to these high school athletes. They love you and you love them and you gravitate to them and they gravitate to you. So try to do something. And so what happened was, at the next station I went to at 101.5, they asked me if there was anything that I was passionate about. I told them working with high school athletes, and they allowed me to bring a bunch of those kids in on Friday nights. You know, and I would talk to the coaches and say, hey, coach, I'd like to bring one of your students in on a Friday night, put them on the radio, let them talk a little bit. And I had a lot of fun doing that, man. It was great.
Yeah. Snake's great. I mean,
yes,
he's a goof. In a loving sort of way, like, you know, Snake and I did our things on, I was at KTAR, he's at 92.3, he was at Power 92.3, and the Suns are rocking, and the whole city's on fire, and Snake's doing his stuff, and so that's a great mentor to have. Do you still stay in touch with him?
Yeah, we talk, every, like, 2 or 3 days, like, you know, we talk, we made sure that we stayed in contact. You know, obviously, like, during the pandemic that hit everybody, and everybody had to, like, isolate, and, you know, I always made sure to reach out to him and touch base and check on him for, you know, just a variety of things. You know, we're all getting older and stuff, health, and he was always checking on me for mental stability, because, you know, obviously the young guy, like, can't go out anymore, and he always wanted to make sure that I was good and not struggling. And so, you know, it was good having somebody check in. He's been really something special in my life, and I'm grateful.
The moment where you thought, I'm done with radio, we got in trouble. You gave me a good example there.
Oh, man.
That was at the beginning. But how many times were you like, because we all of us, when there's a hot mic doing radio, doesn't matter if it's sports talk, like myself or you with music, there's always that moment where, like, oh no, I'm done.
No, you know what? I didn't really get in trouble. Like, the example I gave you was a stunt that we did, and I did a bunch of stunts. I remember jumping in 20 pools for a morning show host, Strawberry. I remember running around the city with WrestleMania tickets in what was that, like, 2010 for Super Snake, and we had a trail of cars following me. It was like 20 deep and the police came to the front, they're like, hey, you can't be blocking intersections. And I was going from like Glendale to Tempe and stuff. But the moment that like I realized like I was done with radio had to be like it was shortly after the year that Chandler finally beat Hamilton. And I brought Bryce Perkins and Chase Lucas into studio to hang out. And I let them have the entire 3-hour segment because it was huge. My program director walked in the following morning, the first morning that I worked after that, like on Monday morning. It was like, hey, Chili, we need to talk about something. And I was like, what's up? He's like, I don't ever want you to bring high school kids in here anymore. Nobody cares about high school sports. It's not a thing. We shouldn't be doing that. We're a music station, play the music, stick to the script. At that point, like I realized, like, I was like, I don't want to butt heads with this dude. I don't want to deal with it. Ralph opened a door for me and then I walked through.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was hard though. It was hard hearing that because, you know, I remember getting the numbers, from an undisclosed source. An undisclosed source came to me and said, hey, Chili, I don't care what he said. Your 3 hours with those kids was one of the highest rated segments of 3 hours that we've had maybe in station history. And it was big because those kids were calling everybody like, hey, I'm about to be on the radio. And man, Chase and Bryce were so amazing talking into Katy Perry records, Justin Bieber records, which I know that that's not really what they listen to, but they were such good sports about it. And they loved it. They took callers. Like it was amazing.
Without Ralph, where are you today in terms of the high school space?
Man, I'm never going to be without Ralph. Me and Ralph talk, you know, at least once a week, you know, and I make sure that I troll him heavy on social media, watching all his Instagram stories. He's spending a ton of time with his kids and his wife and stuff. And they're building chicken coops and, you know, really seeing a different side of the country. And that brings me peace. So for now, I kind of spearhead and hold down Arizona Varsity until the day comes or the time comes that, you know, he's like, hey, you know what? Arizona's home. We miss the burritos because I know they miss those breakfast burritos. And they come back and, you know, Ralph, you know, reclaims and just, you know, stands by it and finishes what he built, what he started building.
Maybe I didn't phrase the question correctly, so I'll go at it this way. If Ralph Amsden doesn't come into your life at some point, are you doing what you're doing today?
Man, you know, that's a great question. So I have an adopted godfather who's Frank Cush, who did a little bit of coaching at ASU. And he always wanted me to get into the recruiting space of some sort. So when I was in high school, he used to help me like watch film and break down film and stuff and pick things out. And he really taught me a lot of things. Man, we used to watch a lot of football games together. And I remember like, I don't know, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like, you know, meeting you and a whole bunch of these people, like it was meant to be. Like, you know, I see you out and about, and I mean, nobody would peg us for two people that would hang out and grab pizza at Venezia's, but we did it. You know, Zach Alvira, like there's so many people that come into this that, you know, I want to say maybe if Ralph doesn't come in, I don't rule it out.
Yeah, no, that's good. Cause you know, and you can find Chili's content, of course on social, but at Arizona Varsity is what he and Ralph put together, and it is a really good spot for people to go in the high school space. And what I like about high school, I'm a dad of four. The youngest one is now a senior in high school. So I've been a part of this space for 16 years and then just covering in media forever. And I think it's changed so much that kids don't have a place to go really release. And there's so much focus on just the win versus the growth. And I think you've provided the growth because it's a space where there is more to just the W and the L on Friday night, although people when Chandler play Hamilton or Saguaro plays Chaparral will disagree or other examples. But I think having some levity, which is what you're all about, as well as here's who won and here's who did lose. I think there's a great balance that you've found.
Man, you know, it's a tough space to navigate, to be honest. You know, but Brad, you, the McCabes. I think you guys have done like a great job of helping to bring up the up and comers in media. Me, Zach Alvara, a bunch of us, you guys have done a great job of helping to raise. And I think that that's ultimately how you guys leave your legacy on something. And, you know, I hope people don't take that stuff for granted, because I know when I stepped into this, jumping from music radio, doing the YouTube thing, doing the Twitter thing, I know some people were apprehensive about it. What's he doing out here? What's his end goal? And, you know, I think, you know, having the right people bringing all of us up, we're all very fortunate. And, you know, Brad, thank you for that.
I think Chili, the thing of a changed life will change your life. You don't know those kids. Like, I grew up with a single mom, and I was in a space where it was just, if I didn't have some people that came along, that made sure I had a ride, or made sure that the guy that was trying to get money from my mom for training lessons or whatever, that they're like, no, you don't need to do that. Even all the way back in the day. Like, I see personal trainers today, and there's some really good personal trainers out there, but yes, by and large, there's a lot of guys just using it as a cottage industry to make money off kids. And I think that that is something that, you know, for me, my space is, you know, let's try to get away from just the W's and the L's. The people that are going to help get you recruited, that's fine. That's all. But if you don't have some things beyond even just the GPA, you know, the GPA, it's the obvious one, but just look, when media comes up to you, when the game is over, just go shake hands with the other team first, please, and go to your coach. You don't need to come over to us. Oh, I would have never known. Yeah, we're not as important as you being with your team. And some of these coaches and some of these programs, you know, you were there. I was there this last week over at Via Luna. Here's Tempe High bringing out a player who hasn't won a game, and they're excited for the coming season. They're actually getting a little bit of attention, actually feel a little bit better about themselves. They sit up a little bit, you know, taller. And so let's spread this around so that when they are out of that space, you know, someday I'll be on the wrong side of the grass. Someday you'll, unfortunately, none of us get out of here alive. So while we're here, let's make sure that we leave the place better than when we found it. And high school's just hard now.
Yeah, you have no idea. And I mean, I will tell you, dealing with angry parents and frustrated parents is a lot harder than dealing with frustrated listeners and angry listeners.
Yes.
The angry listeners, I always remember that I could just hang up on them and not think twice about it. The angry and frustrated parents, it's tough because there's a kid involved, and that's why they're frustrated. I'm paying for this recruiting service and I'm not getting the offers that I want. I'm paying for this, you know, training, and my kid's not producing on the field the way that we feel he should. My kid's not getting that. It's tough. And there's so many moving parts to it. But I think at the end of the day, you know, we all just have to take a look in the mirror and, you know, try to just do what's best for the kids. Ultimately, the wins and losses are going to be the wins and losses. We can't change that. But we can change everything that goes into the process of that. And I think that that's what we have to celebrate, is the process, and really enjoy that.
How many kids have you come across, if any, or many, that don't even like football, but they're just doing it because their parents want them to do it?
Oh man, a lot. Yeah. There's a lot of kids that are, you know, they feel like they're playing because they feel like they owe it to their parents, because their parents have invested so much money or time or whatever, all the trips to youth league, all the private training, you know, things like that. And I mean, dude, the kids got to start just, kids got to communicate with their parents too. Like, it shouldn't be a 9-to-5 job yet. You know, they're not getting paid for it like that. Go out and be a kid. And that's why I tell, like, I've had parents hit me up and say, hey, Chili, come check out my third grader. He's going to be the next great one. He's going to be a first round pick. He's going to be in the Hall of Fame someday. Okay, I get it, but he's in third grade now. Dude, let him go hang out with his friends. Let him go play with squirt guns. Let him go, you know, jump in the pool and stuff. No. His footwork's got to be right. Yeah. He's got to be a kid. Like, if we don't start allowing our kids to be kids, we're going to have you know, a legion, an army of Michael Jackson types. No disrespect to the king, but you know, everybody, it's documented how troubled, like, his upbringing was.
When you have you come across kids that have had some trouble because of the pressure?
Yeah, I mean, every year there's a kid that will hit me up and panic. They don't have the offers. And I tell them all the same thing that like I literally told Brock Purdy, just be patient, man. You're great. You're doing fine. It'll come. Just be patient. Have faith. You gotta have faith. You gotta have faith in the process, even though the process is sometimes a nightmare.
What about coaches, Chili, that come to you when it's during the week that are saying, I can't win, I can't compete, I don't know if I belong in this space? I'm finding that more and more prevalent.
I mean, I've had coaches express like frustration based on
parents.
Yeah, parents, pressure from parents, playing time for kids, and how do they hold on to kids that can kind of freely transfer. I don't want to say freely because there's a penalty for it, but how do I keep kids in my program? How do we keep this foundation? Things like that. And obviously, like, I'm one of the first in Arizona that's started to cover freshman football like full time. Mm-hmm. Man, I did not know the Pandora's box that I was opening up with that. You know, the first year that I did it, it kind of went under the radar. But the second year that I did it, it became a thing where like some coaches are like, oh my God, if you don't come cover my freshman program, I'm gonna lose all my kids. Like, I don't think that's the way it works. Like, maybe it is, but like it really shouldn't be. Parents really shouldn't be chasing like the stars and the attention, right? Like, don't just throw your kids in front of somebody that says that they're a media member. You never know what you're exactly going to get. And you never know who you're bringing your kid to, you know, and I tell parents all the time, like, you know, if you need to know who's reputable, ask me, I'll give you a list. Talk to the Zach Alvirez, the Cody Camerons, anybody that has for the most part, until they become like mass produced, anybody that has a Sports 360 thing, because it's usually Jordan and like Claudia and Eric and stuff like that. And obviously Jordan now, you know, if you need to know who to trust, like, I'll fully put it out there. I know a couple of years ago, I think Ralph kind of, you know, put out a list on Twitter, like, you know, follow this guy, follow this guy, follow this guy, you know. And as a media group, we might actually have to start doing that and look into doing that more, just to protect the parents from themselves, from throwing their kids in front of anybody.
Well, the thing is that I find, parents will chase lists and stars, and that's very damaging to a kid's mental health. And it drives parents crazy because my kid deserves more stars and my kid's not on this list, or he's on a list 1 year and the next year he's not. And so and I get it. It's, you got to chase clicks. And so you're going to put out a list and you're going to put out stars and people are going to click on it and see if their kid is there. Pretty simple. All right. But the damage of that is tough. I think the collateral damage of that is far outweighs, because there's hundreds of kids who will never make a list, and there's just that select few that do. So how do you honor those kids where the majority are never going to have that opportunity, and then they're there and then they're not? And I see that as something that's problematic.
You know, I think parents don't have a full understanding about how the star system works. And just so we can go over that real quick.
Sure.
For those tuning in, there's typically about 32 five-star players in the country. There are 50 states. There are a bazillion kids playing this game.
Right.
There are about 32 five stars. They correspond to the number of first round picks in the first round of the NFL draft. So that means that, like, if you think that, if you go into a room and you go into any youth football room, any one of them think, oh, I got at least 10 five-star kids, there is no way. There is no way. It is not possible. Look, the goal has to be, and the goal should be, get your education paid for. Create a better life for yourself. Create opportunity. That should be the goal. If you happen to become a five-star kid, if you happen to become like an All-American, fantastic. And we're going to celebrate you. But the goal should really be get college paid for. Don't chase the Power 5 offer. Be nice to the D3 coach, because one, you never know. That D3 coach may become, you know, the position coach at a Power 5 school. Like, you know, and, you know, I heard this story about Parker Navarro, the quarterback from Desert Vista years ago. I had a coach a Division III coach at the time tell me that he wanted Parker Navarro and knew that Parker Navarro was way bigger than him. He told me that Parker Navarro gave him all the time and treated him like he was the most important coach. And it really made him feel good. He ended up reaching out to another couple coaches that were at higher level schools and told him, hey, look, you got to check out this kid, Parker. That coach will sometimes do the work for you. You got to be respectful. Don't be bigger than any school because these schools are trying to give you an opportunity.
A couple other things I'll let you go and appreciate your time. You can follow Chili at just Chili, Arizona Varsity, lots of his platforms. He has his weekly show on Wednesdays and Friday nights during the season. Is that right?
Tuesdays. And during the season, I do Freshman 15 on Wednesdays for my freshmen, all freshman stuff. And then on Fridays, I do a post-game show. Like I bring on Zach and as many people as I can bring on.
Name, image, likeness is going to find its way to high school. It's already in California. It's in New Jersey. It's in New York. It's in Idaho. I've already had parents that have reached out saying, we need to get ahead of this. What do you recommend? I've seen some kids on social saying I'm open for business. I hope they know what a 1099 is, but that's another deal. What do you think of when it becomes high school and doing name, image, likeness? Do you believe there's already some of that going on? It's just not out there.
I think that there's people that are trying to take care of some of these kids, promote their brand. It's going to be a slippery slope. It's going to turn the power high schools into superpowers. It depends on when this really kicks in. If this kicks in the next, like if this doesn't kick in the right way, God, it's really going to turn a situation of haves and have nots and put a way bigger wedge between them. I want kids to make money. I do, but man, do they know what a 1099 is?
No.
Do you want to see a high school kid take in so much money and then end up having to go through a problem with like the IRS, like in his like sophomore or junior year, or his family because they didn't understand fully what a 1099 is and how to file the taxes and how to disperse everything? Like, you know, these are problems, and I'm hoping that we have classes that will educate kids on basic things like that, paying taxes in high school. Because I remember when I was in high school, we did not have that. So kids got to learn about this stuff. Like they need these life tools and they need them in high school. Like, you know, my second degree was in education, but, you know, I don't really think that, you know, the education system is doing everything that it can to put, you know, a quality product of kids out there, because a lot of these kids aren't ready. Mm-hmm. They're not ready. They have to drop out of school and they're not ready to live life and figure out, you know, how to pay rent and do basic things. And I don't know. We need a class that does that.
No, I agree with you. I've said for the longest time, money management for a high school athlete should be an elective. And people are like, well, and try to get it in place. You know, I've consulted with parents on it. Just I don't charge them. It's just, look, let's spend some time here and figure this out. Okay. And your son is 5'2". He's 170 pounds and he wants to be the nose tackle at USC. I'm not being a dream killer. And his GPA is 2.3. I'm not being a dream killer. It's not happening. So let's look at NAIA. Let's look at ACU. Let's look at Ottawa University. Let's look at Division II. Let's look up at NAU and beyond for all levels, not just that kid. Because what we've focused on now is a kid will say to me, Chili, I don't know if you find this to be the case, how's your recruitment going? I've got 4 Power 5 schools. Oh, how many schools are 10? So why do you have to tell me about your Power 5? You know, what's the point? Parents, they will just immediately go, yep, we're trying for Power 5. Great. How about just trying for something that's in the best interest of the kid? I'm not scolding here. It's just I've heard it over and over and over. And I think it's just the neighbor down the street who has a boat bigger than they have that they don't even like, who's showing off his boat. They want to just say, we have Power 5 this and Power 5 that. I've seen the kids on letter of intent day that never had any offers. And unfortunately, they're sitting there mimicking like they're signing a deal. That's embarrassing. It's tough. You know, it's so it's
craziest thing ever.
Yeah. And it's just so I guess to put a bow on it, is that the biggest issue facing high school moving forward, the high school football kid from your view?
I don't disagree with a lot of what you said. Yeah, I guess I would have to agree with that a little bit. But I do remember an interview with Hendrix Johnson where he told me that the most important thing was he loves football, but you know, his college decision was going to be a 40-year plan. Whoever was going to give him the best opportunity to play football and give him a quality education that, you know, he could make a living off of, you know, when football is done. And I think more, and as people know, he obviously chose NAU. And he did have opportunities because I remember ASU was highly interested and stuff like that. But he chose NAU and he's doing great. And I think more kids have to take that approach. You know, that, you know, we have to look at life beyond football. Everybody wants to play in the NFL, but literally everybody wants to play in the NFL. And there are only 100 plus draft picks. Brock Purdy was one of the best quarterbacks in Arizona. He was also the last pick in the NFL draft. Great accomplishment. But that lets you know how many talented players are out there. He was one of our best. And he put the work in off the field with philanthropy stuff. He put the work in the classroom. He put the work in during training, off-season training. It is so much work. And I hope that kids really look at what Brock Purdy accomplished to realize like how difficult the journey actually is. Go get the education.
Yeah.
Make sure your GPA is high enough to open up those doors. The academic doors are way more important than the athletic doors. And I think that parents need to understand that too.
Yeah, I use Brock a lot in examples with parents and that family. Brock came up to me at an NFF event and said, "Mr. Sesmat, what community college should I be looking at?" This was after his senior year. "What community college, Chili, should I be considering?" And I ended up hugging him. And I said, you're beyond my dream come true because I got enough of, oh, man, I'm going to Notre Dame. No, you're not unless you buy a ticket. You know, a kid who says... What community college? We need more of that. Look, I appreciate chopping it up with you. Great time. Great stuff. Thanks, Chili.